for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Monday evening, July the 1st, 2002. First service of the summer family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Melvin Creason of Okmulgee, Oklahoma, is the minister of the evening.
For his goodness,
amen.
It's an honor and a privilege to be here tonight to open this camp meeting. We feel especially honored. We heard a lot of things already, haven't we? We've heard a lot of good things. Heard the voice of the Lord tonight. Bear witness with my spirit. And we're thankful for this time of the year. I wore my flag and my eagle tonight, so we're thankful that we live in America.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
It's like all of us. It's not perfect.
That's right.
But it's the best there is.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
And I wouldn't want to live anyplace else.
No, sir, Brother Melvin. Uh-huh.
And it with all of its faults and all the things that are happening today, we still choose the United States of America over any of them and all of them. Praise the Lord. Thank God for that He let me be born in this country. Somebody said something tonight about an explosion. So many things we could talk about tonight. It's not our intention to try to drown anyone. It's our intention to make plain. And sometimes it's difficult. We search for words sometimes to make plain that we know and see. And I thought a while ago when Brother Miller said he's going to give Brother Dale two services so he could finish. And not too long ago, well, I was talking to somebody and they said, Brother Dale preached. And I said, well, what did he preach on? They said, oh, same thing he'd been preaching for 2 or 3 years. So, it's amazing now. It's amazing when you get in to the flow of the Spirit and the Word becomes alive to you, there is no end to it.
Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
You can't complete it. You can't exhaust it. It's from everlasting to everlasting.
Yes. Amen.
And, we're going to try to share a word with you tonight. Just some here has heard us. Dr. Knoll heard twice, I know. And Brother Dale heard part of it twice. And Brother Bill heard us, and Brother Miller. And the reason we do this is that it's not that we don't have something else that we could preach.
Right.
Or teach.
Right. Right.
But it's what God is moving in us in this hour. And this started kind of accidentally last November. And I was ministering. And I was explaining my understanding, giving my understanding of the woman in the 12th chapter of Revelation, and what the sun, the moon, and the stars meant. And we was talking about the moon under her feet, and this saying came out of my mouth, that God has never left his people without a light.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And it wasn't something that I thought up, but it was something that just came from within me. And as I began to study on this, it was quickened to me. And I never had God to deal with me on a message like he did this one. We ministered on it for about 4.5 months at home. Not every service, but every Sunday. And might have still been ministering on it, but you get to a place where people become unreceptive, and they think you're preaching the same thing over and over, and they just quit consuming the word. So you got to do something different. So we changed, and we are changing, and I want to change.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And change is hard.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
And a lot of people says they want to change, but they really don't want to change. It's a cliche. And Brother Dale mentioned about the change in his ministry and reminded me of Brother Jack and telling that they was riding along, him and someone, Billy Shelfner, I believe, and they was listening to a minister, and he said, I've been preaching for 40 years and I preach it today just like I did 40 years ago. Now, he was boasting, but didn't realize that what he's saying, I haven't grown one bit.
That's exactly right. Nothing changed.
I haven't changed a bit. I've changed.
Yes, sir, brother. Amen. Amen.
I don't preach it like I did.
That's right, Brother Melvin. Amen.
There's been change. And there's going to be another change.
Yes, sir.
And it's going to keep changing till we're in his image
and life.
And his life.
Yes, sir.
And the same image that was manifested in the Son is going to be manifested in his many-membered body.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
So we are changing. But change is hard. I used to work in steel, and the last 25, 30 years that I worked, I was what they called a fitter, welder fitter. I built things from blueprints, and I loved it. I loved to take a blueprint on something I never built before and build it, see it come together. Back off and look at it. And at one time that was just a piece of flat steel, or many pieces of flat steel. But we transformed it and shaped it and made it into something that was useful. And the hardest, most difficult thing to make is a transition. And that is to go from one size to another, or from one shape to another. Go from square to round, or from round to square. That's very difficult, but it can be done. Yes. Praise the Lord. So we're changing.
Amen.
Our ideas are changing. Our understanding is developing. And we're coming into a greater understanding of what thus saith the Lord. And folks, I have to admit that I am what they call computer illiterate. I don't even know how to turn one of them on. I think I'm started to say smart enough. I don't know if that's the right word or not. I think I could learn how. Amen. I think if I was turned loose on one, that I'd figure out how to turn it on.
Yes, sir.
But I can't walk up to one of them things and just flip it on and start working it. I don't. And sometimes I feel just almost that way about the Word of the Lord.
That's right.
Yeah.
And as God was giving me this, that I want to share a little bit of it with you tonight. You know, I don't want to leave you hanging. I want to give you enough that you'll understand what I'm saying as far as I go. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. But as God was giving this to me, and when I was preaching it, and sometimes it flowed teaching and preaching, there would come a flow that would almost overwhelm me. And I don't know how many times I've stopped and said it's too big. Can't comprehend it. It's too big for me. I cannot fathom or comprehend or apprehend the living Word of God outside of the Spirit of God. The reason that Israel walked in such ignorance is that the law was spiritual and they were carnal.
Amen.
And the greatest mistake that's in the world today, in the church world, is a spiritual living word trying to be interpreted by carnal-minded people.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
And we have to learn to be patient enough to wait for the moving of the Spirit of God, for the stirring of the water, my God, until we can comprehend and understand what God is saying to the church today.
Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord. Man, I tell you, we need God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes. We need a manifestation of the Spirit of God in and to and through us.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the name of the Lord.
Amen.
You know, I don't know whether I'll ever get to the Word tonight or not.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. We try so hard sometimes. And I guess we think that God can't do it without us. Amen? Praise the Lord. Turn with us tonight to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I believe, folks, when we understand, thoroughly understand by the Spirit of God, Genesis 1, 2, and 3, we'll have a pretty good understanding of the plan of God.
Amen.
For the ages.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord.
Yes.
And the more we understand it, praise the Lord, the clearer the whole picture becomes. Thank you, dear Jesus. In the beginning, there was a beginning.
Yes. Yes.
I believe when he said in the beginning, that he's referring to that point in back there in eternity when God began his creation. Now, in God, there is no beginning.
That's right. That's right.
God is from everlasting to everlasting. I can't comprehend that. God dwells in eternity, and I dwell in time. And with God, there's no beginning and there's no end. But there was a place somewhere out there that God calls the beginning. In the beginning, God. That's just a big statement in itself, isn't it? In the beginning, God. Out there, when there was nothing but God. God created the heavens, the heaven, and the earth. The earth was without form. It was void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." And what happened?
And there was light.
Glory. Hallelujah. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Isn't that strange? The first thing God did was separate. After he created, the first thing he did was separate. And he separated the light and the darkness. Amen? My. Yeah. My. Oh. I dare not stay there too long. But God separated the light from the darkness. He said, "Let there be light," and there was light.
Amen.
And God saw the light, that it was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. Now, there's so many points that we need to explore here, and we're not even going to try. As I said, we're just going to give you what when you get too sleepy, we'll quit. Amen. When I see too many heads nodding, I'll quit. Praise the Lord. God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Now listen, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning was the first day. It's important that we notice each one of these phrases. There was light and darkness, and there was day, and there was night. This is a pattern that runs from here to the last chapter in the book of Revelation.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. In the last chapter in the book of Revelation, there was a city wherein there was light.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And without, there was darkness. There, and without, there was whoremongers and every evil thing. But in the city, there was light. There was light and there was darkness. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, I think that what we want to leave you with tonight, and you may already know this, I understand while God gave this to me a few months ago, that there was people that received it years ago. You know, there's no new thing under the sun. Ecclesiastes. Amen. And this isn't the first time it's ever been preached.
Right.
Praise the Lord. But I understand that many people, if not most people, has never heard it.
That's true. That's true. That's true.
And if they did hear it, they didn't comprehend it. My. So, what is light? What is this great light? That's what we want you to understand. In the 14th chapter, or the 14th verse of the same chapter, God, in the fourth day, God created the sun, the moon, and the stars.
Yes, He did.
Yes.
Amen. But in the first part of the chapter, He said, let there be light, and there was light.
Yes.
But the sun wasn't created until the fourth day. So what was the light? Amen. What was that light? Well, let me read to you what Strong says. See, there's two different words used here. In the fourth verse, third verse, God said, "Let there be light." There was light. My. And in the 14th verse, God said, "Let there be lights," plural. And when you look these up in the Strong's Concordance, the Hebrew, there's two different words used. And they got different meanings. In the third, fourth, fifth verse, the word, the Hebrew word used there is or. Or. Spelled O-W-R, pronounced O-R-E. Pronounced just like iron ore. And it means illumination or luminary in every sense. If we really understood light, just natural light, that would mean more.
Yeah.
But let me read the rest of it here. In every sense, including lightning and happiness, it means lightness, happiness, understanding, means bright, means clear, it means day. Let me give you a little illustration here. Say, Okmulgee, Oklahoma, has a river run by it, called Deep Fork. And it heads somewhere up around Oklahoma City, up in there. And it's one of the rivers that forms the Eufaula Lake. But the land up around Oklahoma City, on out when you get out west of us, is red. That's where Oklahoma got its name. Red earth or red land. And by the time the water reaches down there, and before it gets there, of course, when it runs off that red dirt, it's just muddy looking. And when it gets down there, it's just muddy. You can't see into it. It's just dirty, dirty river. Has good fish in it, though. But there was a lady that used to go to our church, and she's going on to be with the Lord now. And actually, they left the church. And they sent word back to us. They had somebody to bring this to us. And she had a vision or a dream, I forget which, but it was a spiritual. And she seen Deep Fork River as clear as crystal. And she could look into the water and she could see them old logs and stumps and buckets and the fishing tackle and things that people used, and it was just as clear as could be. He said, "What does that mean, folks?" I've seen some things, and you know Ezekiel speaks of the water ankle deep and knee deep,
loin deep,
and loin deep, and then water to swimming. And I've heard people all my life preach on that and talk about people mud crawling. You know what mud crawling is?
Yeah.
Somebody don't know what mud crawling is. Well, see, we was raised on them old creeks out there, and when that's where I learned to swim, in a little old muddy creek. But until we learned to swim, we'd play along the banks. And they called it mud crawling. We'd act like we were swimming, you know, but we was crawling on the bottom. And we get all muddy, you know. See? But you know, folks, there's people today worshiping God that ain't even gotten the water yet.
That is the truth. That is the truth.
And then there's the muddy water. And here a few years back, there's a couple got married, and the Lord gave me a word for them. Young. And I went to them, and I said, "The Lord gave me a word for you." I had no idea really what it meant. But he said, when two streams flow together, and one is muddy and the other is clear, the clear becomes muddy. I see I'm not going to get anywhere here tonight. I'm talking about into this message. Hallelujah. It's clear. It's day. It's light. It's lightning. It's morning. Morning sun. And it's from a word which means to be light, in light, give light, show light. Light, lightened, set on fire, shine. Praise the Lord. Now, let me just briefly give you this, and maybe sometimes later we will. Let's go to the other light over here, or the lights. And it means a luminous body. Or luminary light as an element. Means brightness, figuratively, means cheerfulness. And specifically, it means a chandelier, or bright light. Now, what do we see here? Okay, in Genesis 1 through 5, he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And then over in the 14th verse, he said, "Let there be lights," plural, and there was light, which they are objects that give light. Objects of light. But in the first five verses, it is light. Hallelujah. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. There is no certain object that creates that light. It is just light. The earth was without form and void.
Yes.
The Amplified says an empty waste.
Yes, sir.
There was darkness. Darkness speaks of absence of light. Spiritually, it speaks of people who are spiritually illiterate, that has no understanding of spiritual things. They do not comprehend, My. You know, in Nehemiah 13, there is a group of people there, and the Israelites intermarried with other women and brought them into Israel and married them, and they produced children. And it says that the children spoke not the language of the father.
But of the mother.
But they understood and spoke the language of the mother.
Right.
What does this mean? Naturally, it meant that they couldn't speak the Hebrew language, but they spoke the language of the mother. Now we come to today, and we have people. I went to my nephew's funeral a couple of years ago, and as the minister ministered over him, telling him what a fine man he was. He was his good father, worked hard, died young. Went to church, but as he's talking about him, he said, "Boy, he knew this Baptist doctrine." He spoke the language of the mother, but understood not the language of the father.
Amen. There you go. There's the problem.
Amen.
Amen.
And we're not. We've got to comprehend by the Spirit of God what the Word is saying, not just what somebody says about it. Praise the name of the Lord. This light was not produced by a burning object, but was brought into existence by the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
As the Word comes to me, it existed of itself.
Yes.
Praise the name of the Lord. I tell you, now, we was talking about the mud crawling, wasn't we? The dirty waters. And when clear and dirty water comes together, invariably the clear water is made dirty. Man, that speaks volumes, doesn't it? We've got to keep our stream clean.
Amen.
Amen. We got to have a clear understanding of what thus saith the Lord. We're going to try to hurry on here. Now, the first thing that God created, he said, "Let there be light," and there was light, right? And then he began his creating process. And he wound up on the sixth day of making man in his own image and in his own likeness. Amen. He breathed the breath of life into Adam, and Adam become a living soul. In St. John 1, it said, the life was the light of man. Amen. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Adam was created in light. Amen. Right. And he proved it because he understood God and God understood him. He communicated with the Father. And he walked in light. Now, and you know the story of how Adam and Eve fell. And they lost the image and likeness of God.
Yes, sir.
And they took on them the nature of a beast.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, just when the light, the light never did go out. Don't misunderstand me. But the light ceased to shine as far as man was concerned. For man loved darkness more than light.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And when Adam and Eve fell and took on the nature of the beast or a beast nature, then they produced a son in their image and their likeness. And then they produced another son. And now the beast nature is manifested through Cain when he killed Abel. And man started on a downward spiral.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And when Cain slew Abel, God put Cain out of, not the garden, but out of Eden. And he went wandering. Hallelujah. And Cain tried to recreate that he had with God when he built his own city. He tried to find a safe place. Amen. He tried to find the tranquility and the peace that he had with God out there on his own. My. And then this downward spiral continues until the sixth chapter of Genesis, and there it bottoms out. And God looks upon the scene. Now, it started before that. Really started with Cain.
Yes.
But it bottoms out in the sixth chapter. And there, God comes upon the scene, and he finds that man doesn't any longer want to keep a knowledge of God. He don't want to entertain thoughts of God. Amen. He and so what happens? Well, see now, oh my Lord. See this word that we have read to you here, verses 1-5, is a prophetic word. It yes, it happened. Yes, there was creation. Yes, that took place. But it was a prophetic word for the ages.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And when it begins to transpire, here there was evening and there was morning. And between the evening and the morning was the night. And the darkness was called night. And along somewhere in the fifth chapter of Genesis, about Enoch's time, is when the sun began to fade, so to speak. Now, again I say, the light didn't quit, but man quit the light. Man loved darkness more than he did light. So man left the light. And in Genesis chapter 6, they're in total, complete darkness. And this darkness continues for about 4,000 years. But in that darkness, God did not leave His people without a light.
Please turn the tape over for side 2. Thank you.
There is a sun. There is a moon, and there are stars, and all of these has spiritual meanings. The sun is a type of every man.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. I don't believe we want to mess with the moon and stars. It gets too big. But I've got 8 lessons, I think it is, on the stars. And I titled it, The Stars Then and Now. There are stars then, the stars speaking of the stars under the law and in the darkness. But there's stars in the church of the living God today.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And all of that has to be... really expounded the sun, the moon, and the stars. But the sun, we can make that pretty quick. because it was a type of the true light that shined in Genesis 1 through 5.
Right.
Hallelujah. And it, let me just give you a picture here. Every day when the sun come up, God was saying to the whole creation, the light's going to shine again. And every night when it went down and the moon came out, the moon said, the light's still shining. The light's still shining. And it's going to come up.
Yes, sir.
Pretty soon.
Yes, sir.
It's out of your sight. You can't see it, but it's going to come up. Hallelujah. So they laid themselves down and they went to sleep. And in the morning they waked and the sun did shine again. Hallelujah.
Yes,
praise the name of the Lord. Now, you know, to do this justice, we need to go through now, through the Bible, where the prophets prophesied of the coming of the light.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Praise the name of the Lord. And God sent His types and shadows all through the Bible telling them that the sun is going to shine again. Here, 4 or 5 years ago, there was a woman in the church, Sister Lorene Garner, lost her husband. Or he went to be with the Lord, be a better saying. And about the first service that she was back in church, first Sunday morning, and we was ministering, and the Lord gave me a word for her. And He said, the sun will shine again. The sun's going to shine again. Hallelujah. May be rough right now, but the sun's going to shine again.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. My. Now, the prophets prophesied. Isaiah stood and he said, arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon thee.
Amen.
And what you know what? Notice what Isaiah said. He said, thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. He spoke it as if it was had already happened. But it was the voice of God speaking through Him that caused those things that be not as though they were.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And it was 700 years. And my, oh, it's getting good. You know, one day, Zechariah went in during the course of Abia, and there he was going to burn his incense. And he did. While he stood there burning his incense and fanning the odor over the veil, you know, God was supposed to be back there, and it's supposed to be a sweet-smelling savor to him. But God hadn't been back there for 400 years.
Mm-hmm.
And He just went through His routine, mm-hmm. fanning the odor of the incense over the veil.
Right.
And wasn't nobody back there to smell Him. But He's going through His court. And the angel of the Lord stood by Him. And He said, Zechariah, you're going to have a son. And He said, give me a sign. Okay, we'll give you a sign.
You'll be dumb.
You go back to the sun, the moon, and the stars, and He said He gave them for signs and for seasons.
Huh? Yeah.
Well, I won't tell you. If you want to plant your garden by the zodiacal sign, go ahead. But that's not what He's talking about.
Amen.
The signs is not the zodiacal signs at all. The seasons is not spring, summer, winter, and fall. Amen. Has Has nothing to do with it except God was letting man out of that create him a calendar because man lives in time. But that wasn't the real meaning. And I don't dare get it. I shouldn't even said that. Is it Zachariah, wasn't it? Let me. How many is a nodding, Brother Bill?
Not even yet.
Praise the Lord. Where we want to go to Luke, I believe it is, chapter 1. Amen. We'll try to do some things here. We'll try not to hold you too much longer, but we want to make this clear enough that you'll see where we're going. Amen. In Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 15. I don't know whether I got time to read all that or not. Okay, we just told you that. That's where Zechariah was standing. The Lord appeared to him and said Elizabeth would bear a son, and you'll call his name John. Amen. Now let's go to verse 26. Let's see. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Now, you know what that was for. Say, now I want to go on over about the 76th verse of that same chapter. And here, the angel of the Lord visits Mary. Everybody with me?
Yes.
Yeah.
Told her she's going to have a son. Right?
Right.
And said, your cousin Elizabeth is now the sixth month with her. And Mary said, well, how's these things going to be?
I don't know a man.
Amen. Seeing that I know not a man, the power of the highest shall come upon thee. And so on and so forth. And thou shalt conceive in thy womb by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And so she believed God and she took off for Elizabeth. And she got there, and when she walked up, Elizabeth began to prophesy to her. And then Mary leaves, and Elizabeth has a baby. And they want to name him Zacharias.
Yes, sir. Copy the old order.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I told the folks, like, one Melvin Creason is enough. Amen. God didn't send any of you to reproduce yourself.
That's right.
Spiritually, I'm speaking. But he sent Adam, he told him to reproduce, to multiply and to fill the earth. Uh-huh. What with? With the people just like God.
Yes, sir. Right.
And that's, we're not supposed to reproduce after our image or our religious order. Right. But we're supposed to bring forth a man child in the earth in the image and likeness of God.
Yes, sir.
That you don't need no more man.
That's.
Amen. I don't want to reproduce me. I want to reproduce Christ in me.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Let's get over here. Let's read. Okay. And so they come to Zechariah, and they write what's his name? And Zechariah motioned for a pen.
Writing tablet.
Writing tablet. He wrote down, and he said, his name is John. He didn't have nothing to say about it. His name was John before he was conceived in his mother's womb. His name was John. And when he wrote that down, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he began to prophesy. Amen. And now, in the 76th verse, he's prophesying, And he said, and thou, child, speaking to John, shalt be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins, through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us. And that day spring means that the day is dawning. The day is springing. And my, what's happening now? Well, like darkness set in back there in Noah's day and before Noah, the darkness came in, and now it's the dawning of a new day. Amen? The sun is about to rise. He said to John that you're going to bear witness of the dawning of the new day. Amen? What was happening? You could look back into the eastern sky and you could see a little breaking. See, all them people asleep till 9 o'clock don't ever yet see that. We as kids, Dad say, boys, boy, get up. He's still in bed. We get up. It was just breaking day. And he done that so much, and my wife, I'll hush. you know, what? We was out there and saw the sun rise. I can come in at 3 o'clock in the morning, done it time and again. Go to bed, go to sleep. When day broke, I woke up. And I'm hurting at the sleeve. the day was beginning to break. And over in John, little John, 1 John, chapter 2, it said, the darkness is past. I jumped ahead of myself a little bit there. Let me read the rest of this. Verse 78, through the tender mercies of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, the light was coming. Amen. To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace, and the child grew and waxed strong. Now let's go over to St. John chapter 1. And we're in the beginning. John started right where Moses did. Amen. If Moses wrote the book of Genesis. Now, everyone thinks he did. But he starts right back there. He says, in the beginning, God. Amen. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. We quoted this a while ago. And the life was the light of men. See, God breathed into Adam's nostrils. And one day, Jesus appeared to a group of people and He breathed upon them. Amen? Now the sun hasn't rose yet. The light hasn't come. Let me tell you. See, the sun and the moon and the stars don't affect or having anything to do with the light of God, except they're a type. The sun and the moon and the stars can go on shining when the light of God is not shining. And when the light of God is shining, the sun, the moon, and the stars, the natural sun and moon and stars, can just keep on shining. But they shine for the people who walk in darkness. Oh, man. My. They're for the people who walk in darkness. Oh, this. My. Let me throw this on. In Revelations 21, speaking of the city, it said that the city had no need
of the light,
of the sun
or the moon.
Or the moon.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
What's he saying there? Because the sun is the light thereof. See, when folks. When the light of God is shining in its fullness in you and I, we won't need types and shadows anymore.
Right.
We won't need parts anymore.
Amen.
We won't need gifts anymore because we'll have the fullness.
All right.
Amen.
But until the fullness of the light shines from within us, we're going to need the gifts of the Spirit. Amen?
Yes, sir.
We're going to have to go back and look at the types and the shadows. But when the city is lit by the light of the sun, of the living God, we'll have no need of the sun or of the moon.
Right?
Won't be no religious order there.
Verse 23.
Won't be no temple there. So, Brother Bill said, won't be no temple there?
Right.
Right. Because the Lord will be the temple of it.
He'll be the temple.
Yes, sir.
And he'll be the light thereof.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Oh, blessed be the name of our God. I got to read on. And the light shineth in darkness. Folks. I don't believe God wants us to be ignorant of the day that we're living in, both spiritually and naturally. Abraham was not ignorant of his decrepit body. Amen?
Right.
No, he wasn't. But it didn't bother his faith.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
In full view of the facts, what humanity calls facts. He was 100 years old.
Yes, sir.
Sarah was 90, but it didn't bother his faith.
No, sir. Uh-uh.
When all reason for hope was gone, he hoped on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Now, I tell you, folks, I'll just be honest with you, when I look at the circumstances, when I look across my little congregation there, and the average age would probably be about 65 or 70, and nobody wants to hear more than a 15, 20-minute sermonette, and I look out into the country, and I see our judges and our Senate passing laws and enacting them that is contrary to the will of God.
Yes, sir.
Right. Yes, sir.
And I see sin abounding. Now, the religious order is growing.
Yes.
But all those that I know that is endeavoring to follow God in His fullness is shrinking. One day, this man came, preached for us, really built me up, you know. God, we just went through a great shaking. And he got up there and he prophesied there's going to be a shaking. We went home and I said, Bill, how can we stand it? We'll stand it. Folks, this is easy said and hard done. Whatever happens, God don't change.
No, sir.
Right.
The light will still shine.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The light is still shining, and the darkness won't affect it.
That's right.
It cannot comprehend
Amen,
it.
Amen, Brother Miller.
It can't lay hold upon it. Neither can it dim its power to light.
Amen. That overpower. Glory to God.
What did I do? Oh, here it is. We'll quit. I'm getting dizzy. Longest I ever preached was 2 hours and 5 minutes. And the people wouldn't let me quit, and I finally had to quit, and I sat down, and it was like my head was spinning. Praise the Lord. But it was wonderful, glorious. And you know, whatever God wants to do, why, we're willing. And the light shineth in darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, which... Where was I? He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Mm-hmm. Another star shining. That was the...
true light.
True light.
Yes, sir.
See, all these lights in between, from Genesis to here, the sun, the moon, and the stars, and all the astrologers, and all of those, they were just lights. But this is the true light.
True light. Yes.
It's the real light. My Lord. This was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Let me read a verse from John, 1 John. Chapter 2, and we'll close. Now, you know, this should be drawn out for about 8 or 10 services, but in chapter 2, verse 8, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past. Uh-oh. Now, you see, we go back to St. John chapter 3, verse 17. And it says, down through there for about 3 or 4 verses, tells us that man loved darkness more than light. Because his deeds were evil and he wouldn't come to the light. Oh, my, lest his deeds be exposed, you know. My, the darkness is past. Now, this is saying a lot of things. And, you know, as you go through all the letters that the apostles wrote, and you know what? Nearly every one of them, if not every one of them, is dealing with sins, darkness. People, he said, in Ephesians, he said, you're not children of the night, but children of the day.
Yes, sir.
Walk as children of the day. He said, here, the darkness is past. Well, to you and I who believe and receive, the darkness is past. Should be. In Colossians 1, he said, who hath translated us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his dear son, or the son of his love. Man. Folks, if he took you out of here, we'll call this one darkness, okay? If he took you out of here, and placed you over here, and that was dark, and this was light, why in the world would you want to go back and dabble around over here in the darkness?
That's true. Amen. Amen.
See, God's got better things. But Brother Dale, Brother Bill, both tonight. Honey, God's got things if we will seek after them.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
I has not seen or heard.
And listen to this. See, the enemy's nature is to hide and conceal.
Right.
And God's nature is to reveal.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
He wants to give us.
Yes, sir.
And has given us. It's already ours.
Yes.
If we can comprehend it, that it's already ours, and begin to seek after the light and walk in the light. Amen. You know why people don't want to study the Word and don't want to hear the Word preached? Because they don't want you to cross their little doctrine. I probably told this here before. I'll tell this and I'll try to shut up. Wife and I used to go visit her folks once. They lived quite a ways from us. And we'd go up there on Saturday night and stay all night with them and go to church on Sunday. They didn't go to church, but we'd go to church sometimes anyway. And we drove up there one Saturday afternoon, and father-in-law came walking out, and he was fixing to get in his car, and he said, "I was just fixing to go over here to church. Would you like to go with me?" And I said, "Sure." And I got in the car, and we just drove right around the other side of the section, just miles straight across from his house. Went to a little old church over there, and a pastor come in, and father-in-law introduced me to him, told him I was a preacher. He said, "You don't preach tonight?" And I said, "No." I said, "You go ahead. I didn't come to preach. I'll just testify or something. You go ahead." So it was just a few days before Christmas. And so they sang their songs, and he asked me, said, "Come on up and lead testimony service." I got up and walked up there. And I just went over to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. The promise of a Redeemer.
Yes, sir.
And I told them that here, when man fell, God gave them a promise of a Redeemer. And I said, when the angels appeared unto the shepherds over in Luke, this came to pass.
Yes.
And an old brother stood up in the back and said, "I just think we're better off not knowing a bunch of this stuff."
My people are destroyed.
I said, "Amen."
Like as not.
The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not.
Amen. Amen.
Didn't even know it was there, did it?
That's right. That's right.
Oh. I'm sorry, I forgot about that. Praise the Lord. I want to tell you something. God loves you.
Yes, sir. Yes, He does.
Yes, sir.
He loves you.
Yes.
He may not love what you do, but He loves you. And He's concerned about you. And in Romans it said that if He spared not His own Son, how shall He not with Him freely give you all things? I want to tell you, God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed.
Amen. Amen.
Would you stand and let me just pronounce a blessing upon you. Father, you said that if we came into a city and they received us, that we was to bless them. We've come to this city tonight, and we've been received. Thy word has been received. And I want to bless this people, Lord, but of myself I cannot bless them. But I can pronounce blessings upon them in your name. And right now, I pray, along with Paul, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. That we might know what is the depths of the riches of your glory. And God, we bless them with spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We bless them, Lord. We bless their fields and their flocks. We bless their herds, O God, tonight. We bless their bread. That's in the kneading trough we bless. In Jesus' name we bless it. And we pray, God, right now, that that there not be a feeble one leave this place. May the healing virtues of Christ make you completely whole.
Hallelujah.
May strength and health come unto you, and may that we rebuke the devourer of the land.
Yes.
We command you to loose your holds and to go in the name of the Lord. Bless, O God, we pray, and supply all their needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And everyone said,
Amen.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
Thou hast been brought from many directions, saith thy God. But yea, thou art not to return in the same way that thou did come here. Yea, thou art to go to thy direction in another way, in another realm of thy spirit. Know thou this, that thou art living in a day of change. Yea, know thou this, that thou art living in a day when God's bringing thee from out of all mixture. Yea, into my presence. Yea, that thou would walk in my life. Ponder not again, is this the day or another day? But yea, move thou in, saith thy God. Because you see, thou art walking in the day of change, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 Thank you, Lord, for the word. Thank you, Lord.
Ponder not within thine heart, should I be here or should I not be here? But yea, know thou this, that thou art filling a divine appointment. Yea, I have brought thee from the four winds. Yea, but know thou this is the day when thou must walk into the place that I've destined for thee to walk in. And no longer to gaze and look at her far away. But yea, thou must walk in and possess thy possession within thy God. This is the day that I've called thee into, saith thy God. Not a day to be just filled, but this is my drawing, saith the Lord thy God.
Glory. Glory.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory.
I want to give you the word of the Lord. God spoke to me and said, this is no other camp is like this camp that God has brought us into. There's a lady here that called me from Louisville, Kentucky. And I asked her to come on to be in this meeting. This afternoon, she met me over there. She said, are you Bill Smith? And I said, yes. She said, well, I'm the one that called you from Louisville. She says to me over the telephone, she says, your name just keeps on popping up. You know, my name can do nothing for you. But all that the Christ that lives within, let's never limit him. Let's release the Christ in this camp up here, because this is going to be different than anyone that you've ever seen. You said, I've been here 20 times. It makes no difference. God said, this is going to be different. Praise the Lord. We're coming into a realm of the Spirit of God that we've not been before. And we're making a choice now if we're going to follow after the heart of God or we're going to follow the men after the flesh. And this is where God's bringing us to today. So I want to talk to every one of us. Let's dig in as never before. There's qualified ministry here that can meet every need by the word of the Lord. And let's move by the Spirit, that the Spirit and the Word will agree. Praise the Lord. And that will bring the final fruitation in mine and your life. Praise the Lord.
Now, I'll introduce him. That's Brother Bill Smith from Fellowship Temple in Fort Worth, Texas. And I was going to introduce him a little later, but he got that all taken care of already. Amen. With the word of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, greetings to all of you this evening. And trust by tomorrow night, we'll be having to set up some more chairs, fill up all these empty ones in here, and fill up some more. The announcements are simple, but I'll tell them to all of you who've never been here before. How many has never been here before? Well, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Someday, I don't know how that'll be possible, maybe till the Lord comes, but if we ever had everybody back here that has ever been here, we couldn't get you in the stadium at the racetrack. That's the truth. We'd have to have twice that place to put you all. But we appreciate all that's been here and all that are here and all that will yet be here. Amen. Amen. The announcements, I'll tell you, are tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock is prayer meeting. At 8 o'clock is breakfast. At 10 o'clock is the morning service. At 1:15, at 12 o'clock noon, sometimes we eat at 12 o'clock. We're supposed to, but sometimes we do. 1:15 is the ladies' meeting, which will be upstairs right over in a dormitory that we've converted both ways. We use it both ways for a meeting room and a dormitory if we need it. A ladies' meeting, Sister Millard Coffey will be ministering there. There will be a men's meeting right here at 1:15. Dr. Noah will be in charge of it. And at 3 o'clock, we'll have an afternoon teaching session on deliverance. And Dr. Noah will be ministering tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock. Tomorrow night, after supper, at 7 o'clock, we will have the evening service. So that's the schedule of the meetings. Now, a couple little things. We do not allow fireworks on the campground. So if anybody brought fireworks with you, take it back home with you. We do not allow it. Another thing that we do not allow is personal prophecy given on the campground, in the dormitories, or anywhere. If there's any personal prophecy, it will be given right here in front of a minister or the congregation, or it will not be given at all. I want that well understood. There will be no private prayer meetings. We have prayer meeting here in the morning at 6 o'clock. Now, you can pray when you get ready to go to bed, but together a group and to have a prayer meeting, that is not permitted at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds. I'm not going to the reasons for that, but you can maybe figure it out for yourself. But I can tell you some horrid stories of things that I know about and things that have happened here on the campground because that rule was not obeyed. And so that is a steadfast rule of the campground. And we just have, is somebody sick? You are permitted to pray for them, and you can come get me out of bed, or some of the other ministers in the night. I've been gotten up more than once in the middle of the night, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, to come pray for somebody, and I've got it done it before, and I'm available to do it again. So if you need prayer in the middle of the night, come knock on the window, pound on the window at the house, and I'll be in about 2 minutes. I'll be with you. So okay. Now, that takes care of all of that, and since I've said that, I think we'll take care of the evening offering for the expenses of the campground, and go ahead, ushers, and thank you, Tony and Juanita.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.